Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 for our thoughts this morning. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and I want to begin with verse 1. Word of God proclaims, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this. Father, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for this time. We can assemble and worship you, Lord, in truth and in spirit. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come to this sanctuary to worship you and to hear your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this privilege and honor of giving me the opportunity to break the bread of life and to speak those things you've laid upon my heart. And Father, let me preach with boldness and authority those truths. And Father, I just pray that everything that's said and done brings honor and glory to you, and that, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit speak, convict and convince, Lord, all of us where there's need, especially if there be one here that doesn't know you. We pray that before we close this service that they'll come to know you before it's eternally too late. So, again, be with me now. Move anything that would hinder me being able to deliver the word. I love you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you for my salvation and the assurance. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. All right, I want to begin by asking you a question. Why did Jesus heal? Why did he heal the blind and the deaf? Why did he heal those that were lame and crippled? What was the reason? Contrary to what some would have you to believe, the reason that he healed, it wasn't so much for the benefit of those that he performed the miracle on. It was for to verify or validate that he was the Christ. He was the Messiah and that his word was true. That's why he healed people. And beloved, I'm thankful he can still heal today. He heals sick souls all the time. And believe it or not, sometimes he even heals a physical body. But notice I said he does it. That gift of healing has been done away with. Amen? Now, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can heal someone today. We've got living testimony to that. But I don't have that gift. Neither does Benny Hinn. Or Roberts, or anybody else. Amen. That's the truth. and I'm really going to get in trouble. They never had it to begin with. Because it was done away with. How do I know? Because when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Perfect Word of God. Don't need it anymore. Again, He can heal. Now, I want to speak to you about this miracle. And it was a miracle. Here was a man that was probably born with palsy. The Bible doesn't say, but he had palsy. You say, well, preacher, what's palsy? Well, palsy is paralysis. That's what it means. We don't know if he was paralyzed from the neck down, the waist down. We don't know if he was born with it. More likely, he probably was, but it doesn't say. We're just assuming. But we know he was crippled. How do we know? Because he had to be carried into the house. I say carried into the house, lowered down through the roof. Because Jesus was in the house. I want to say this before I go on. If Jesus ain't in the house, don't waste your time. He always needs to be in the house. That's why I love coming to Lone Mountain. Because Jesus is in the house. But He performs this miracle. But really, again, there's three miracles in this one. And the first miracle I want to talk to you about is the Lord's miracle of perception. Look at verse 5 with me. Verse 5. Notice what it says. And when Jesus saw their faith, He saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, why reason these things in your heart? So, you see, Jesus saw three things there. He perceived three things. See, He had keen perception. You see, He perceived one, the hearts of those four men that literally broke up a roof, carried the man that was in paralysis or had palsy, and lowered him down to the house. And when I say He perceived, I mean He was able to know their hearts. He was able to understand what their motive was. See, their motive was this, compassion. Compassion. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because they brought this man to Jesus. That's true compassion. You and I should have the same compassion for others. You see, they got their friend to the Lord. When's the last time you took a friend to Jesus? Maybe we ought to think about it. But Jesus knew their heart. He knew their motive in doing that. He also knew something about that man that was paralyzed. You see, it's without any problem seeing, well, he's crippled. So he needs the touch of the Lord. But Jesus perceived more than just that he was crippled. Everybody saw that with their own eyes. He was crippled. He needed to be healed. But Jesus saw the heart and realized that this man's sins must be forgiven. Do you understand? God knows our hearts. And He knows if we need to be forgiven. And I'll go ahead and say that all of us need God's forgiveness. Everybody here. So, not only did He perceive the four men, the lording to the house, and that person that had palsy, but He also perceived those scribes. Who does he think he is? He's blaspheming, saying he can forgive sin when no one can forgive sin but God. Well, they had it halfway, right? Only God can forgive sin, but what they failed to realize was He was God. Amen? He was God. So, again, the miracle of perception that Jesus has, you see, just like He knew their heart, He knows your heart and He knows mine. And let me tell you something. We might fool one another into believing we're saved and we've been forgiven, but I'm here to tell you, you're not going to fool God. He knows if you are saved and if He has forgiven you. You see, the Word says this, that the Word of God, over in Hebrews chapter 4, is the discerner of the intent of what? Our thoughts and our hearts. You say, well, that says the Word of God. Y'all understand Jesus is the Word, right? He is God. The Word is God. So it is the discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart. So again, what a miracle. Don't you know those old scribes were kind of shocked when they realized, how does He know what we're thinking? Well, He knows because He's God, Brother Dave. That's how He knows. And I'm here to tell you, that's a wonderful miracle. But there's another miracle. And that's the miracle of His power. You see, when it comes to healing, there's those that say, well, Brother John, you don't believe He can heal today. Yes, I do. I still believe in God's power. And God is able to heal. And I'll tell you what. As great as physical healing is, it's spiritual healing. That's right, sister. It's when a sinner recognizes that they need a Savior. And they're sinful in His eyes, and they come to Him, and He hardens. You see, that's power. And as I said earlier, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this poor man that was born with palsy, you have to understand, that was a mighty miracle. I mean, if all you could ever do is just lay stretched out, everywhere you went, everybody had to carry you. And by the way, you were a burden back then, literally. But then you meet someone that has the power to physically deliver you. That's quite a miracle. But the greatest miracle of all was not the physical healing. I mean, it was great. You see, the physical healing only lasts so long. Amen. And believe me, if I was deaf, which I'm almost deaf, if I was blind, if I couldn't speak or I couldn't get around, I was crippled, I would, believe me, want to be healed. But listen to me. If He decided to heal me of one of those infirmities, it would only last for a short time. But when He heals us spiritually, it's forever. And it never ends. So when Jesus looked upon this man, He saw a physical need, and yes, He met that need, but He saw something much more. And that was that man's sins needed to be forgiven, and He alone had the power to forgive him of those sins. What a miracle. Have you experienced that miracle? You see, every time someone gets saved, it's a miracle. Every time someone walks the aisle, and they bow before the feet of Jesus and repent of their sins and receive Him into their heart, it's a miracle. I've had a miracle in my life. How about you? Praise the Lord. So, He saw this man's heart. And He also saw something else. And it's a requirement to receive healing and a miracle. You know what it is? It's called faith. F-A-I-T-H. It takes faith. Trust. And that man had enough faith that the Lord not only healed him physically, but He forgave him and He saved him spiritually. Because he saw faith. Have you exercised faith? I pray you have. But again, the Lord is powerful. And His power can handle any situation. Whether it's physical, spiritual, material, it doesn't matter. He has the power. And I'm thankful. What a miracle. So He can perceive that. And again, He knows your heart. I know. But He also has the power to handle whatever you need. And that's a miracle. But the greatest miracle that He performed for this man was the miracle of pardon. Have you been pardoned? You see, as I said just a moment ago, physical healing, wonderful thing, but it only lasts so long. But when you are pardoned and forgiven for all your sins, that's eternal and forever. You never, ever have to worry about your sins costing you. Because when the Lord washes you with His blood, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. I can only answer for me. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus, and I'm thankful that my sins aren't going to be brought up again, because believe me, before I came to the Lord, I was chiefest among sinners. But the miracle of pardon, not only is it wonderful, not only does it take our sins away, and does it last forever, but listen to me, what I love about the miracle of pardon is it's for everybody. That's why I stand before you. I'm able to. Because God's pardon is for everyone. It's universal. Anyone can come and receive forgiveness for their sin. Now, there's a couple things they got to do. They've got to, one, trust God. Believe that Christ did what He came to do, and that was to die as a sacrifice on the cross, and believe that after He was buried for 3 days, He rose from the grave. And they believe in that, and they call upon Him, right then, right there, they're pardoned forever. They're saved forever. Don't let someone tell you you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. That's a lie from hell. Now listen to me, you better make sure you're saved. And I tell you, if you admit and believe and confess it, and you believe it with all your heart, what does He say? If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God's raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you do that, you're saved. And I don't care if the devil tries to whisper in your ear, no, God couldn't forgive you, you were too bad, you did too much sinning. He ain't going to accept what you did, He's never going to accept you. That's straight from the pit of hell. That's a lie. You come. You call on Him. It's a done deal. You don't ever have to worry about hearing, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because He keeps His promise. Now, again, His pardon is for everybody. And the sad thing is, a lot of people aren't hearing that He's willing to pardon. What they're hearing today is they're condemned, and it's true, we were condemned. But what they're hearing is some of us Christians pointing our fingers and holding our noses down at them, saying, oh, God doesn't love you, look at the way you live. I'm here to tell you, you better check yourself. For one, we can't judge no one. And two, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that could be me or that could be you. Listen, the reason I'm not stumbling down some old alley is because of the grace of God. That's the only reason. I'm not better than that drug addict out there, strung out on drugs. I'm not better than that drunk out there, staggering down the street. I'm not better than a burglar that breaks in and steals from home. I am no better than any of them. The only difference between me and them is I'm a saved sinner, they're a lost sinner. But I'm a sinner. So again, the miracle of pardon that Jesus has for everyone is a mighty miracle. In fact, I'll go ahead and say it. It's nice that he can heal. And he has healed people in the past. And I said he can do those things. But the greatest miracle of all, Brother Ciro, is that miracle of pardon when it comes to our sin. That's the greatest miracle. That's the miracle that I like to hear about. Because it's his greatest miracle that he would even be willing to sacrifice himself in order to be able to pardon all of us. What a miracle. Amen. Now, again, look at something. I want y'all to get this. It says, verse 9, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say to arise and take up thy bed and walk? Look at verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So, three things. He can perceive. He knows the hearts. Two, he has the power. And three, he can forgive sins. He can pardon sin. Three miracles in one act. Kind of simple, isn't it? That's too simple. No, God made us. He knows us. He has to make it simple for us. Amen. And notice, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And it didn't say it took him a little while to get up. After Jesus told him to get up, his sins have been forgiven. No, it says immediately. You know what? That's what happens when a person comes to Jesus. Immediately, not 24 hours later, not when the Holy Ghost is blown onto you, not when you fall out in the aisle and kick like a chicken, had its neck wrung. It's right then and right there that you receive Christ and are pardoned forever. Right then, immediately. And notice, and he took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Two things. They see this man get healed and get up, and take up his bed and walk to the house. They were amazed. And they begin to glorify God. And let me say something about glorifying God. That's why we're here. That's our purpose. If you have been bought by the blood of Jesus, it is your responsibility in all the things you do every day to glorify Him. You see, Paul said whether we eat, drink, sleep, whatever we do, we all do it to the glory of God. That's why we're here. But not only are we to glorify God in everything we do, but it says the people were amazed. They had never seen anything like it before. I want to tell you, that's how it is when you come to the Lord. That's how it is. I remember when I gave my heart to Christ and I told my grandmother I got saved. My Lord, I had to duck. She was throwing stuff. She was going crazy. She was one of them old Baptists. I called her Babdicoff. She was one of them old Baptists that would shout, and she would throw songbooks. I'm not exaggerating. I was preaching a revival at Grand Chapel, and it was my first revival. And we had a house full. Believe it or not, I had a lot of kinfolks there. Showed up because they could not believe what Jesus did with this old infidel. But he saved me. Called me into the ministry, and I'm preaching, and she got happy, and I'm standing down there preaching. Next thing I know, I see a songbook fly. I'm thinking, do they hate me or what? And she's just, praise you, Lord, you saved my grandson. I spent so much time in prayer, praying for his deliverance, praying that you'd save him. Not with my granny. And, you know, she started something. Isn't that the way people are? Someone starts something. People follow. Next thing I know, there's another one, throw a book. And another one, throw a book. And finally, I had to say, Leah, thank you, brother. Finally, I had to tell Brother Junior Hampton. He was the pastor there at Grand Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. I had to tell Brother Junior. I said, Brother Junior, tell them they're going to end up hitting me if they don't stop. Tell them to stop. He says, brother, I'm not about to tell these people to stop. But the Lord's leading them. And finally, they stopped, praise the Lord. But you see, they were excited. And they were thrilled and happy, sister. Because an old sinner received the miracle of being pardoned. So if you're under the sound of my voice, I'm here to tell you, the miracle of pardon is for you. All you have to do is accept. It's a gift. Oh, what a gift. I've had many gifts in my life. People have been very good to me. God's people are so good to me. I pinch myself at some of the gifts I've received. Not because I am special. I know why they give me gifts. It's because they just show their appreciation. And I've had wonderful gifts, and I'm thankful for them. And, you know, if you want to keep giving them, keep sending them my way. I'll accept them. But listen to me. Listen to me. And I'm being serious here. The greatest gift I ever received was the Lord's pardon. The greatest gift. Nothing compares. I can lay my head on a pillow at night and sleep and not worry. What if I don't draw another breath? What if I die in my sleep? I have nothing to fear because I'm going to wake up in my Savior's presence. I have literally peace with God, and I don't have to worry about all those sins I committed way back there when I was lost because guess what? He pardoned me. He forgave me. I'm forgiven. They're never going to be brought up again because they're covered by His blood. Understand. The miracle of pardon is the greatest thing you'll possess. Have you been pardoned? You see, this man, you know, I thought about those four friends. And I'm sure some would say, well, you know, when he says that Jesus saw their faith, he just saw the reaction to their faith by their outward doing for this guy because they tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down. You can't say that. Because listen, for one thing, Jesus didn't know who those four guys were. He wasn't around them. For all he knew, those guys could have been hired to carry him to that house. So you can't say that's the faith that they were acting upon. No, no. They literally had faith. How do we know that? Well, Jesus knows the heart, but He also saw them willing to go to whatever measure it took to get Him to Jesus. We should be willing to go whatever measure. Get someone to Christ. Because that is true compassion. And that is faith. So in close, short message this morning. Don't count on this all the time. Listen to me. He loves you. He is a mighty Savior. He knows if you're His or not. He has the power to save you. And He will pardon you if you just ask. So if you're here under the sound of my voice, and you haven't called on the Lord, why? What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Everything. Say, well, I don't think I can hold out. You can't. I can't. Nobody can. But you see, it ain't up to us to hold out. He does the hold. It's forever. Anything the Lord does, He does it forever. Praise the Lord forever. So Well, I urge you to come. I urge you, child of God, if you have a friend or a loved one that needs Jesus, whatever it takes, get them to Jesus. Share your faith. We're commanded to witness. You say, no, that's your job, preacher. No, that's all of our job. All of us. We belong to His church. He gave His church the commission to go out and make disciples. So please, need some help? Come up to the altar and ask God to give you courage, give you strength to share your faith. But above all, if you're here and you're not saved, I know someone that can call you. His name is Jesus. He's God. When God promises you something, He's not like us. You know, I can tell you I'm going to be there. Something could arise, keep me from meeting. It's not that way with the Lord. He promises to save you. He'll save you. So would you come?